CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is it's already Thursday. Jesus, these weeks are flying. Wow. I know for some people, they probably feel like they're dragging on forever. But you just got to be strong. And like the Four Tops say in the song I played just now, reach out and I'll be there. That's what they say.
Yes.
I'll be there with the love that will conquer you.
That's right.
What a song. When you feel that you can't go on and that all your hope is gone. That's how it goes, right? Reach out. Very nice.
Very nice indeed.
You know the good old days of four-piece singing groups, matching suits.
Yeah.
Those corny dance moves. That's what
you
we
mean,
need.
You mean like the Supremes, which was a three-piece thing with the ladies all dressed the same and doing the moves. You mean like what Destiny's Child copied? Because they haven't got an original idea in their heads?
Wow. You know, I was going to take this conversation
Your friend Beyonce? You mean her?
Thanks for the compliment for calling her my friend, but we could have gone the Bee Gees route. We could have mentioned, you know, the Beatles.
All right. No. We went straight for Destiny's Child because I know it's a weak, spot. Happy Thursday, Sia. Sia Sangweni is here. He's joining us live from the Sangweni Mansion in Durban. We've got Pinky Mokemane, who's also with the rest of the team in the studio in Johannesburg. Jesus, Pinky, you've had a week, hey?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm happy Pinky to be alive and to be here.
She needs to unmute herself.
You need to unmute yourself, Pinky. She's not used to this.
No.
And Mbulelo is there as well in the studio, as well as Mfundo running things in the background. Pinky, you need to learn to unmute yourself. You go to the bottom left of the screen. And then
how long she hasn't been here for.
Yeah, you press the little microphone, which is an essential tool for broadcasters. A microphone. And then you can join the party. Anyway, Pinky's just moved, and she's been waiting to do this the whole way through lockdown. Sia, is there a reason that we haven't spoken to those guys from that End the Lockdown group yet? Because we've got I've sent you a couple of emails, and they are just slavering at the chops to get on and talk to us about their movement. Apparently, it's got like hundreds of thousands of people on, so we must talk to them. All right. Hey, Pinky, can you hear us now? I don't know why you guys are. I mean, we could hear each other perfectly just now. I don't know what happened.
Can you guys hear me now?
Loud and clear.
It's actually Mbulelo's fault.
Okay, now I'm hearing an echo, though, so you got to turn off those monitors.
The two of you are way too... Yeah, are you guys close?
You know, okay, Pinky, you got to be embarrassed. I'll tell you why. Because I've spoken to people in their 80s on these conferencing apps, and they all know how to use it. But you and Mbulelo seem like it's your first time.
Gareth,
this morning.
So I made the mistake of listening to Mbulelo today. I was sitting on my own in the hub, and he was like, "No, let's go into the studio. You're going to do this, and look at what's happening."
I know, what a disaster.
And it was all good. So
you shouldn't move, because moving is apparently like just the worst thing for you to do. You finally have been able to move after how many weeks of lockdown? And what happened? You like had a car accident or something.
I did. I think it happened in the span of like 3 days.
This is not your first rodeo. You've had a lot of car accidents in the time I've known you.
I actually have each year.
Are you irresponsible?
My first car. I don't think so. I think everyone around me is irresponsible.
Oh.
All right, what happened?
I'm actually quite careful. And I mean, I used to be on a scooter before and life was great. A couple of accidents, but life was much greater.
Apart from the fact that you don't have any left leg below the knee and you've got a terrible scar on the right-hand side of your head. And
lost one eye.
Yeah, you got one eye out and, you know, three fingers on the right hand. No, but seriously, what happened this time?
So I was on my way from the new place, going back to my old place to pick up some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this old lady, I was just about to drive into Scott Street. That's in Ethel, Oakland.
Yeah.
And the next thing, this car just drives into me, into the back of me. into that lane, and there was a car that was coming.
Oh god!
But fortunately, he managed to swerve out the way.
Oh man!
How old is old though? Is she like middle aged, or she's at that point in life where you go, should you really even be on your own right now?
She's born 1962, so how old is that?
That's not that old. She's in her 50s. She's in her 50s.
Yeah, so that's what happened.
Maybe early 60s.
I'd be nice. That really isn't old.
You, that's not old. You can tell, though, if someone's old right now, because none of them are getting their hair dyed. So if you're just close, if you're like in personal proximity, if you're within a meter or two of someone, you can easily see if the gray is coming out, then you know they're old.
Sure.
Like, there's no hiding your age right now. Lockdown has revealed all. The truth is out there.
Whether she should be like a runaway convict in one of those action movies,
yeah.
Go to some shop, get a cheap dye, go to the bathroom sink and just try to do something about her hair because it's in quite a state.
Oh,
and I said it once as a joke and I knew not to touch on the topic again because you can tell when someone's insecurity comes to play. She's been wearing hats now.
Oh, no, see, now you've ruined her life. That's what you've done.
For the past, like, I'm not even exaggerating, close to 2 weeks, she'll either wear, like, you know, she'll wear a duck, then she wears, you know, a hat, then she wears a cap, then she's just been changing it up every single day, but her grays are coming out to play.
Well, I think a lot of people are on a very short fuse. I mentioned how my sister and I had a big blowout a while ago. I mean, we're fine now, but I think it's just the tension of, like, how everybody's feeling in this lockdown. And it's a real thing, hey? I mean, like, people have got such short fuses and they're just ready to fight.
Oh, everyone's sort of at their wits' end.
Did you see your sister when you had the blowout?
Yeah. Yeah, we were we were together, so.
I mean, yeah, that changes it.
I'm not going to fight with anyone on a Skype call or a Google Hangout. I mean, that would be just ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but isn't your sister a lawyer? Because they're always ready for a fight.
Advocate. Yeah,
there we go. An advocate. They always
trained to argue, even in her spare time.
Over to you, Pinky. I mean,
have you learned nothing? Have you learned nothing, Mbulelo? Because have you not seen how I demolish people who debate against me? I fucking break them.
Did I display some moral bankruptcy there?
No, intellectual.
Oh, Gareth, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Fuck with me. By the way, someone has sent me a picture. They're making petty socialist t-shirts. And they offered me like 5, yeah.
Now, Gareth, I'm going to Chris Jenner this whole situation. Where's your 15%?
Nah, I'm sure those words were put together at some point. We're recording an episode of Blind History later today, and it's going to be about Stalin. People have been asking for Stalin for a long time. It seems that there are a group of people, and it's a majority of people, I think, who love the bad people of history, like Ivan the Terrible, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, Attila the Hun. They're a group of people who are interested in history, sure. But they really like the horrible, the worst of humanity, the dregs, the people who plunged us into genocide and racism and anarchy and nastiness. And those are the ones they like the most.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because those people are so horrible that it shows, it's almost like holding up a mirror to the worst aspects of your own personality. So in some ways, whether people consciously admit it or not, they know that they've got a little bit of those people in them. And I know.
That's exactly what our good old friend Aristotle said, was an education in horror is a part of the civilizing process.
Yeah, I think you need to know how bad people can be, because otherwise you're just naive, right? Mm. You just go through life and you think everyone's your friend. But speaking of this, apparently Pinky has another story because she went to buy a fridge. And the driver that she got wanted to load her stuff with some people she didn't know.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, she's screaming and shouting at him, and she's losing her cool. And, you know, Pinky's usually very calm, so I don't think this happens often. But just her luck. Who walks past? One of the calm people who believes in behavioral science.
Annoyingly calm.
I love this. This is one of the coolest people in the country. We're doing a webinar with him next week, by the way, which you've got to join in if you want to know about brains and brand and marketing and how it all works, especially post-corona. And this is Timothy Maurice. He pops up out of the blue. I mean, the last person you want to see is a cool, calm, collected Timothy Maurice. Hey, Pinky, how you doing?
Hey, Pinky, yeah. What's up? What's happening?
Hey, Pinky, what's happening? And you're like red in the face and you're furious and you're steaming and you're shouting at people.
I even took off my mask.
So what did he say? Did he say, whoa, you are angry? What did he say?
Oh, man. So I'm there screaming my lungs out, took off my mask because I just couldn't believe what this guy was doing.
Yeah.
And I think the worst part was that I asked him. So I don't even know this guy. I met him through one of the agents at the store.
Mm-hmm.
With him for like 2 days and we had everything sorted. We're going to meet at 3:30.
Yeah.
To the new place. And then he tells me, no, he has to go stop in Alex to drop off the people he had already in the car and to drop off their fridge.
Uh-oh.
So I tell him that was not part of the deal. And I mean, it's not like he works for the store. So if he decided to just not switch off his phone and not even call me back,
you'd never see your fridge again. Plus, he probably knows Jane Malachi, who lives in Alex. And I know she needs a new fridge. So Jane probably would have taken your fridge.
Stop. And you,
sell it.
Yeah, she would have sold it already.
He's probably going to sell it. So while I'm standing there screaming and losing my cool, here pops up Timothy Maurice. Oh, and the first thing you asked me was like, where's your mask?
Oh, jeez.
Like, I took it off in a temper.
Explain that whole situation.
Oh, man. Hey, I was reading. I'm such a lockdown nerd. I was reading last night, and I'm still doing the course on Egyptology, by the way, which I'm almost finished. So I'm proud of that. My sister is learning Spanish, believe it or not. She's using one of those courses online. So there are some of us who are trying to improve ourselves during this time. And Bulelo, you'll be pleased to know I've also managed to keep up my exercise, which
I am pleased to.
You hate fat people just like I do, and more especially, I would just. You know, I've worked out, and this is all linked, because last night I was reading, and I did this brain chemical test, which is, it's online, you can do it, and I'll post the link maybe a little bit later on. But you basically, everybody has these four brain chemicals that are in constant equilibrium, and you sometimes tend more to one than the other, which is the case for most human beings. So we all have a dopamine system. And then in your brain, you have varying amounts of acetylcholine, GABA, and serotonin, right? And everybody has a different dominance in their head. So if you have a dopamine nature, which is what I've got, then you're strongly attached to reward. So in other words, I can do almost anything I want to do or that I'm asked to do, as long as there's a substantial reward for me in it and my brain can identify that reward. So if the reward is that I get to be with my family, let's say the reward is that I win the lottery, or the reward is that I can play a concert piano in front of 500,000 people, then that's a reward that for me makes any sacrifice worthwhile. So people who have a dopamine nature, which is what I've got a dopamine, like the next closest thing, like dopamine's 10 points over everything else for me. If you have a serotonin nature, this is the next one on the scale. Sorry, let's go through it in terms of the way they've laid it out. So the next kind is an acetylcholine nature. That means you are adept at working with your senses and you view the world in sensory terms. You're creative and open to new ideas, a quick thinker, etc. And acetylcholine people are sometimes self-sacrificing. So what works for them is to do things for others. But if they have too much acetylcholine in their brain, then they actually can be like martyrs, you know, and they do too much and they sacrifice themselves. And that's not good. GABA nature. GABA is what 50% of the world are. So most people in the world are GABA dominant, right? And those people are stable. Their hallmarks are consistency, sociability, concern for others. If you have a gabber nature, you will likely show up every day for work and will be there when others need you. When your gabber is in balance, you remain calm, and even when chaos is swirling around you, you have objectivity, level-headedness, punctuality, practicality, and confidence. So those are good features that most of the world has. So if you come up with a gabber nature, then that's probably the case for you. And the last one is serotonin, and that is the chemical that resynchronizes your brain when you sleep. And serotonin, the whole serotonin system, is also about living in the moment. It's about being susceptible to social hierarchies a little more than most people. So it's all interesting to know what's going on in your brain, because as it relates to me, if it's got a reward, then I'm all for it. And I mean, maybe this is a fun exercise for you to do. You want to try it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the website is Braverman Test, Braver, Braverman, M-A-N, test.com. Just go on there. It's quite a long exercise, so it's going to take you – you can't do it now if you're trying to do other things. You need to sit down and carefully consider all the answers, and it'll work out whether or not you have a predisposition to one of the four systems in your brain. And you will have, and you'll have one that you have a deficiency in out of the four.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not. And this is what makes everybody slightly different. So I think this is fascinating.
I can't do the test that says I'm crazy.
Oh, come on, Sia. You haven't even started. Stop being dramatic. There is a question in there, like, I'm quite dramatic. And I was like, oh, Sia's going to tick this one with me.
No.
There's no doubt this is going to be Sia's one. So you must go in and do it in your spare time, and let's see what you are. But it's interesting.
I'm a perpetual romantic.
Well, ooh. There's all kinds of questions in there. And, they indicate a certain nature. And you mustn't consider the way you are, especially when you're vulnerable or during lockdown, if you're having a bad day or you're having a particularly good day. Take it on a day where you're as normal as possible, when you feel the most balanced, and then you'll know how to answer. And then it's just, you know, like these personality tests, for example, they tell you a little bit about how you fit in with other people and what that means. This one will tell you more about your brain chemistry. And it'll also tell you, if you've got a deficiency in one of the categories, what you can take in terms of supplements or food in order to balance it out a little bit more. Because essentially what you want is a healthy balance between the four systems. So I thought that was interesting, and I decided I'd share it with you this morning, even though my findings on this are very premature, and I'm still reading up quite a lot about it. But it's not surprising.
Are you surprised by the results?
No, I mean, I'm not surprised by the whole idea that I'm motivated by reward. Because I was thinking that this lockdown has got me where I'm not miserable or unhappy or depressed, right? We all have bad days, but I haven't felt depressed. And my problem with this situation we find ourselves in, for me, is that I have nothing really to look forward to under lockdown. You know, every week of my life, and sometimes even every day, there are some things, little things, that I look forward to. Those are the rewards. So it might be something dumb, like fixing something around the house so that it looks better. My reward is that I stand back after I've done it, and I look at it, and I'm like, wow, that looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't have anything like that, because I've been in the house such a long time now. I've moved everything I wanted to and fixed everything. So that does nothing for me. For a little while, it was taking the dog for a walk, because that was something new. Now I'm kind of bored with that. I'll still do it every day because it's a good routine, but it's not a reward. It's now...
You don't feel fulfilled.
Yeah, now it's become a chore. Exercise used to make me feel like that, especially when we started in week one and two, because it was novel doing the exercise at home, and I was being creative about how I would do the exercises. Now it's a chore, so there's no reward for me. If I know I'm going to see my friends, then I'm excited, then that gives me a reason to be excited, and it feels like a reward. Similarly, if we're working on business and a deal is done, the deal is signed. Let's say we've got a client who's just signed a big deal with us. Then I'm over the moon. Like, that just motivates me to do more. Mm-hmm. But if it's a week where no deals are signed, I don't have any reward in sight, I just lose motivation.
Interesting. So that's extrinsic rewards. It's what they call it in psychology.
It's correct.
So you're extrinsically driven, which is quite an interesting kind of position to be in.
Yeah. What is an intrinsic reward? I don't even know what that feels like. What is that? Really? I'm not being sarcastic.
So an intrinsic reward. So let me use something that's close to me. So if you play sport, for instance, you know, when you practice and you figure out a tiny little skill, like maybe your ball control gets a little bit better, the reward isn't seen or rewarded by the outside world. Only you know that. So the reward is, I'm slowly improving a skill.
Fuck now, that. Who cares about that?
Yeah. So
who gives a shit about that? I'm standing on my own. I learned to kick a soccer ball better than please. If no one's watching, how do you even know you've done something?
Exactly. So, Gareth, you would play for the gold medal, and that's what they call the extrinsic reward, the gold medal, the certificate, the world.
Well, this is also why I'm not a team player. You know, I've never liked team sports, and I never played team sports with any ability, because it has no, unless I'm getting the reward, I don't want to share that reward with the team. I'm like, I won that. I scored the fucking goal. I'm not playing with you people. You know what I mean?
It takes all types.
So yeah, extrinsic reward all the way. I don't even know what an intrinsic reward looks like. What a waste of time.
You aren't even interested in that.
Fuck no. I woke up, I felt like I'd really learned a lot. Oh, really? What, demonstrate your knowledge? No, I don't need to. It's all about me feeling good. Blow it out, you're a Sousa.
Yeah, as Mulelo
like
was
the Eastern Cape NBC. Yeah.
Oh, no. As he was explaining it, I did think it was a little self-centered, but I don't think in a completely bad way.
What, me?
No, that's intrinsic.
Oh, no, that's just, he's, please, Bulelo, he's trying to be this very thoughtful and centered and balanced philosopher. That's what he is. He sees himself as the Buddha. He's blowing smoke up his own asshole. He's got a pipe from his mouth right to his asshole, and he's it's just nonsense. I don't buy it.
I can't
second.
Disagree with anything you just said.
It's total nonsense. He's got this idea of himself in his head and the real.
Mulelo, how do you act when you're angry?
He focuses his
I haven't been angry for a long time because I've actually got an unbelievable temper. So since I've been about 14, 15, I learned to control it. And keeping an eye on that beast. It's been a very long time since I blew.
You do this brain test. I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say you're very high in GABA. You got a lot of balance and control.
I try.
Yeah, I think either that or you're going to be just like me. You can also be reward motivated, but maybe yours, as you've already indicated, is intrinsic. And you actually maybe you know yourself better than I did, because it sort of took me a little while to click, but now I get it completely. That's how I work. Maybe you know yourself better than I know.
Marlon, I'm a sociopath.
No.
I want to know alcoholic, angry Mbulelo one day.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, because you were an alcoholic and you were wild in your youth.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. I was way out there.
Drinking down at pub with Elton John after a soccer match.
Down a local.
Yeah. Down at the pub with Elton John after a big match for Watford.
Wasn't the best times. The best times was Russia, because then I met a few Brazilian guys, and then we really took it to another level.
What, with drinking?
Oh, yeah. They do it differently. Brazilian guys, Brazilian South American people do it on another level.
You know, cocaine ring?
No.
You know,
that's Colombian.
You know, you talk about the Russians. The Russians are so screwed. You know, one in five men in Russia dies from alcohol poisoning.
Oh, jeez.
Because they make their own moonshine in the back garden, right? And they put everything in there because they just Russians love to drink.
Correct.
And they don't do it for, to take the edge off or so that they can be socially a little more lubricated. What they do, they drink to get drunk. Russians drink to get numb drunk, to get screwed up drunk. And they don't mess around. They drink like 90 proof alcohol and shit that just poisons your system. And they die from this stuff because a lot of it contains methyl alcohol, which of course is poisonous. That's why they put it in methylated spirits. So people won't drink meths, that purple stuff. It's very, very dangerous and can make you blind, as we discussed the other day. And Russians, they're like, I don't care, pass this, give me bottle. I finish it and sit here, finish it now. What I got to live for? It's cold this year, it's going to be cold next year.
Russia's got a very similar setup to South Africa, right, in terms of the socio-economic balance. It's two major ports of financial wealth, and then the rest is a very brutal recent history. So that kind of stuff happens on the outskirts. Yeah, a very interesting place.
Ongoing and stupid self-destructive flirtation with communism. That's another thing we have in common.
Well, yeah.
All right, we got lots to talk about this morning, so let's get stuck in. First story of the day, where do we begin? Let's see. Let's start with something from The Citizen, a newspaper that's probably got another couple of weeks left in it, and then it's going to be out of business too.
Sure.
Really, I mean, they've been struggling along for years, but here they are, so let's just treat them like they're a real news business while they still are. The case first came to light after a pupil came forward accusing a sports coach of sexually abusing her. Who are we talking about? Well, there's a sexual harassment case against a former Bryanston High School sports coach, which is back in the Alexandra Magistrates Court on 2 June. And lawyers representing the former coach, who is accused of sexually harassing pupils, had written to the Director of Public Prosecutions to ask for a review of the decision to prosecute him. Case was postponed on Tuesday, and the accused didn't appear in court due to COVID-19. The case first came to light after a pupil came forward accusing the former sports coach of sexually abusing her. He was arrested in January after the 17-year-old pupil and her mother opened a case. And this led to the accused's dismissal from the school on the 1st of March. So this has all just happened recently. The accused remains out on bail. He's yet to plead and therefore cannot be named. Otherwise, we would be talking about who it was. But, you know, it's like that Parktown boys swimming coach or water polo coach or whatever. You got to be...
Yeah, Colin Rex.
Yeah, you just got to be really aware as a parent these days. And don't be paranoid, because maybe you got a really ugly child that no one wants to abuse. But you do need to be aware that there are some sick adults out there who go into this kind of profession, or they become priests or psychologists or teachers or sports coaches, because it brings them into proximity with children.
Maybe I'm just involving myself emotionally where I shouldn't be. I have no business to. But am I the only one who's hit by stories like this a little differently when it's so close to home? Like, it's one thing to have the Me Too movement and to hear about it in the US, but then you go, wait a minute, like, Bryanston High, that's just like 2 seconds away from us.
Yeah, it is. It's really close. I don't know. I mean, listen, these are still very rare occurrences. It's not like we've got this this massive problem with every sports coach in the country. I mean, we know about the ones that have, because it becomes a big story every time. I mean, parents are justifiably concerned about the well-being of their kids while they're not around. I get that. But it's not like every teacher and sports coach and priest in the country is waiting to grab hold of your child. You know, that's where parents they're just not paying attention. Yeah, you know, fat, ugly little child, no one's trying to abuse that.
I'm not going to say anything there.
No, you do. You get these parents with these hideous children who are little brats from hell. And they're like, I don't want my little Timmy to get abused. You're like, no one will fucking abuse Timmy. Don't you worry, Meredith. Your little Timmy's safe because he's such a horrendous, horrendous little person. Even the most sick pedophile in the world's like, I ain't going to try that one.
No, thank you.
That's like a lot of work. Anyway, Some people think you shouldn't joke about stuff like that, but, you know, on this show, everything goes. So David Makura made an announcement that we must get ready in Gauteng for level 3, he says, on the 1st of June, which is only a few days away. But still, I don't know why they can't just lift it now. I don't see the point. No one does. No one has explained why we still need to work on this curve that we've supposedly already flattened. I mean, no one's even going for tests at the moment. They have to force themselves into your house to give you a test. Have you seen what that test is like? They stick a long, long, long-ass cotton bud right up your nose, but like to your fucking brain. And then they scratch around there. I mean, that doesn't look, it does not look comfortable. And then someone must pitch up here and try to test me. I'll be like, just get out of my house. Get out of my
house. But there's also the option to go through the mouth, right? What are they swabbing for in the mouth?
I don't know about that. I don't think there is that option. I think that they still do they go up the nose. That's what everyone who's had the test that I know has been through.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they're doing these, but he says that calls that the economy be opened, he is understood and heard, but it can be done carefully with processes aimed at protecting employees in place. See, I think a lot of people have just jumped to the erroneous conclusion that lockdown has somehow saved lives. It has not. Let us be very clear. And if anyone says that to you, they have missed the point. What we know for sure about this virus is that it will get you if it intends to get you. You can hide in your house your whole life. It's going to find you. Okay, because you're going to have to deal with other people at some point in your life. And when they come into proximity with you, there is a very high chance that you may catch it from them because it's contagious as hell. So here's what you need to know. The lockdown was put in place so we could get the medical facilities ready and we could get medical personnel ready. It is not a life-saving measure. It's not going to save you from coronavirus. So when people in government start talking about how we need to be careful and employees need to be protected and all this stuff, that's not why we did the lockdown. Those people, if they're going to get sick, are going to get sick. I hate to break it to you, but that's what's going to happen. Anyway, he says he's hoping that we will open up the economy and get to level 3 by Friday. What bothers me about these levels is there is no level 0. Have you noticed that?
But I think according to the initial definition, level 1 is, inverted commas, normal. Just still not buying it.
No, I think it's bullshit. I think they want to keep this going as long as possible because for government, it's a big game of, like, let's see how much we can mess with people and control. You know, the guys in the ANC's National Coronavirus Command Council, they're not accountable to anybody. They don't report their findings to Parliament. They don't give us minutes of their meetings. They hide things like the 2,000 people who supposedly were anti-tobacco being brought back online. And then, the president says, no, but they're accountable to cabinet. But you can't have someone in the executive accountable to the executive. That is not how the balance of powers works, according to the Constitution. So this whole National Coronavirus Command Council might just be completely unconstitutional. And there are people challenging it at the moment as we speak. Really, it's like all their dreams have come true and the ANC can finally practice the Stalinist ideas that they grew up, you know, idolizing. Let's see. Anyway, David Makura is saying we're going to go back to level 3, or to level 3 rather, on the 1st, which is not that far away. It's the 21st today, so we've got 10 days until that. All right, SABC is reporting that they expect a shortfall of $1.5 billion this year due to COVID. Oh, no, SABC.
Oh, sure.
It's not due to COVID, you lying pieces of shit. What is going on that you think we're so stupid that we fall for this? I mean, just shut that down. Go the way of SAA. I do not understand why that revolting place with those revolting substandard performances that are given by management, the people who run the place, the people who actually execute the daily tasks. The whole thing should be mothballed and shut down. In fact, you could blow up that hideous building as well. Just condemn. Just put tape around the whole of Auckland Park. Just condemn it. Just go in there with dynamite and blow. And if there's still people in the building, tough, because they're probably not very useful people. Blow it up. I had 10 years of experience there to be able to vouch for the fact that there is not a soul in that building that I would want to save right now. Get it done. Destroy the place. Blame it on COVID.
So, though highly unlikely.
Isn't this just outrageous? They're blaming COVID for the fact that they are out of business again and need a government handout. When last did
and
the
you're saying no dice.
No. When last did the SABC make a profit? Well, I'll tell you when. When Peter Matlare was the CEO. That was when. He was the guy who hired me.
That was my question to you, Gareth. Is, you know, I was speaking to somebody who's relatively powerful in the BBC, and I was asking her, is it possible to have a state-run sort of media provider be profitable? And she's been there for over 30 years. And she said, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Of course,
yeah. And I was asking her about this.
The BBC spend fortunes on producing, you know, like public service stuff. So interesting documentaries and trying to be unbiased in terms of news and all that sort of stuff. And they mostly get it right. But the BBC is watched like a hawk by the politicians and by the public.
And run like an elite business. I must tell you, she says it is run like a ruthless listed company. There is no room to muck about in the executive.
And they hire on merit. Now,
absolutely.
Sia will know this because he was there for the first, the last couple of months of our work at SABC. Mm-hmm. We were running the biggest and best and most profitable morning show in the building. And we may as well have been dogs from the street the way they treated us. So I could not wait to get out. The management was so goddamn stupid, the lot of them, that we could have, you should really have tethered them to each other and made them pull shit around in a cart. That was all that management was good for. like slaves used to pull Cleopatra around?
Mm-hmm.
On a big, she'd be on a big throne that was on wheels and gold and festooned with feathers, and Cleopatra would be pulled around the place. And the only thing I could think of that would be good for my program director, station manager, marketing manager, all those people at 5FM in the day, was for them to pull me and my team around on a golden throne, because we were the only thing that made them look good. And they would never, none of them have made it in any other business. They're all disasters, all of them. No one will hire them.
Wow. Oh, goodness. The things that happen at Auckland Park.
Well, there may be, I'm being unkind, there may be one or two exceptions. But
let's bump the cheese up a little more.
No, there's one or two that are exceptions that I think now, you know, when I see them, I don't get that sick feeling in my stomach that I'm talking to someone who lives underground.
20?
Three. There may be three good people who are working there.
Radio Park and the TV side?
Three people. I would save those three people, but they're not there anymore anyway, so just condemn it. Anyway, so SABC has received 3.2 billion rand in bailouts from government in just last year. 3.2 billion went in, and look what they're saying. They're 1.5 billion short. So not only did they spend that money, but they refused to or failed to bring in anything, and now they're 1.5 in the hole again, and they're blaming it on COVID. Unbelievable. If you believe that, if you've fallen for that, you are stupid enough to have to watch their news. Then you should watch SABC, the only channel that's good enough.
So I'm just going to mention this. We're on topic. I'm really not bashing them because they're the SABC. I'm just bashing it because I was so not for this. You know, my parents, aka news-obsessed people, they channel hop for every and any bulletin that's out there. And the other day, I noticed an SABC 3 news anchor doing the primetime news. It was either 7 or 7.30 from home. And I thought, that was so weird.
Oh, man.
Media are allowed on working because they're deemed essential, and perhaps maybe she might have been feeling a little ill, but then why still be on the job? Why not get someone else to cover for you in studio? Maybe I'm a little too traditional in my viewpoint, But I watched this lady, and I don't know her from a bar of soap, delivering news that would my day from her lounge. I'm like, nah, Chiquita, I'm not going to take you seriously.
But, I mean, they also have, they really have such bad people left. All the best people who were at the SABC. I don't know the names of very many of the good ones anymore, because there aren't that many good ones. We'd know about them if they were. But
I don't care if it was Sky or CNN or ENCA, but to me, seeing a news anchor delivering news from the lounge, well, be my doctor and deliver news in a playground. You know, it's weird.
I know it sounds like we've got an axe to grind, but I honestly do not. I'm not involved there at all. I'm not missing out on anything. I have no regrets. This is 6 years ago. But I will tell you this. If you are working at the SABC now and you listen to us, I feel sorry for you if you do, because you obviously, you know better. But you need to very carefully take a look at who's paying you and realize that what you're doing is you're stealing from the South African taxpayer, because you're doing a job that nobody cares about, that is stupid. You work for a criminal corporation who just are incapable of turning supply and demand in their favor, despite them having had the monopolistic advantage for years and getting the majority of state spending. So the state funds it, but the state also buys advertising on it. So it's like they're bankrolling it effectively. You know, they keep it, all the income to the SABC is mostly government money. No one advertises there because their ratings are so poor. If you work at a radio station at the SABC, you should be embarrassed, because what you're doing is you're stealing taxpayers' money to produce a very subpar, poor quality product. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed that you are stealing from the people of South Africa. Not only are you doing a job nobody cares about and nobody needs you for, but you're also taking money that could go to good causes. You're a disgrace, basically. All right, there we go. Leave that alone. The U.S. Senate...
I feel like you might be mincing your words.
No, I think I made the... You just be ashamed. Go hang your head in shame if you work for an SABC television or radio station. In shame.
Damn it, why aren't we in studio with the shame bell?
Yeah, we should have the shame bell. Can you ring it then, Bulelo, Mfundo, or Pinky? Ring the shame bell. We need that thing.
2 seconds.
There we go.
Oh,
shame. There we go.
Shame. 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 Right. There we go.
I don't know why that made me so happy to hear.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. We've got other things to talk about. The U.S. Senate has passed a bill that could block some Chinese companies from selling American shares, or selling shares, rather, on American stock exchanges. It would require firms overseas to follow U.S. standards for audits and other financial regulations. This is good news because, you know, Chinese business people come into the U.S. and they buy shares on the U.S. stock exchange. And then they control those companies because they buy enough shares. And you wouldn't accept that if you were an American business that's based in America that doesn't have any reason to have to listen to a shareholder there. I'm all free market, but maybe there needs to be someone observing this stuff. I mean, we know, for example, about Chinese interference in U.S. universities, which is crazy at the moment. Massive amounts of very irregular things happening there. So apparently tensions are increasing between the US and China over the virus pandemic and after the Luckin Coffee accounting scandal. Now what this is, apparently this was a big situation that occurred in the Luckin Coffee business, where the planned legislation required publicly traded companies to reveal whether or not they're owned or controlled by a foreign government, because this business was, and they didn't declare it. And then it turned out later they were just like a front for China to grab more real estate in America. And I don't mean actual property. I mean business real estate. So it's interesting. This is something that they're talking about. And on Tuesday, Luckin Coffee said the NASDAQ exchange had notified the company of plans to delist it due to concerns over alleged fabricated sales and disclosure failures. Its shares will trade on the exchange pending the outcome of an appeal expected within 45 days. They've been one of China's few successful U.S. stock market debuts. A scandal hit firm has said it was cooperating with regulators in the US and China who've begun an investigation into the company. They sacked their chief executive, while six other employees who were alleged to have been involved or known about transactions that were suspicious have been suspended or put on leave. That's what's going on there. One last thing that we need to know about from this is also from The Citizen. Millions battened down as super cyclone Amphan hits Bangladesh. You know, we talked the other day about how there's a tropical storm that hit some other place. And you can't imagine, I'm sure, how horrible lockdown would be. Not only if it was lockdown, but there was also a natural disaster happening.
Yeah.
Not great, huh?
Far from it.
No,
not great at all. It's like the one of the last few places where tigers are actually let free and respected as well.
Yeah, and millions of people live in Bangladesh. I mean, it's very densely populated. There's a huge amount of poverty. And millions of people are now hunkering down as the strongest cyclone in decades. Oh, these people cannot get a break. Slammed into Bangladesh and eastern India, killing at least three and leaving a trail of this devastation. Authorities scrambled to evacuate more than 3 million people from low-lying areas. Jeez. The task was complicated by the need to prevent the spread of corona. I mean, in this situation, you're like, I'll take my chances with corona, thank you. Let me get out of the way of the goddamn cyclone. Made landfall and tore through coastal villages, flattening mud houses, blowing off roofs, uprooting trees, and laying waste to crop fields. Ugh, what a horrible story. I mean, my sympathies to Bangladesh. Who needs that?
Having said that, isn't it a pleasure for all the whinging we do as South Africans to live in this country, considering how stable our climate is?
And we don't
look worldwide.
We don't have volcanoes. We don't have hurricanes. We very rarely have floods. Really, it's nothing like most parts of the world. Flooding is not a massive deal here. We don't have terrific, horrible, unbelievable droughts. There have been a few in recent memory, but you know, it's not like the whole country goes into famine. So
yeah, our tectonic plates are very stable. I mean, right. you look at America, have a self-imposed West Coast that is now literally. Their earth tremors are constant in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, isn't it on the San Andreas Fault?
Yeah,
right the way down California. They've been telling us for years that what's going to happen is there's going to be a horrific earthquake and California is like going to break in half. Imagine living.
What will happen to Megan Fox then? How will I live?
Well, she'll fall right into the crack because the devil will come up and finally claim her as his own.
Guys.
Hey, I'm excited this morning. We've got Big Daddy Liberty back, Sihle Ngobese, who we've had on before. I saw a video of his where he was so angry. He was like sitting in his car and he had a temper tantrum like Pinky when her fridge wasn't delivered. He's like, I keep telling you people, you need to stand up for your rights. This government is taking away your rights. So this morning we're going to have him back, which I think is very exciting.
Very emphatic.
Oh, yeah. No, the guy is passionate. I wish I could be as passionate as that sometimes. He's super excited.
This is true. Look at the times we're living in.
Yeah. So I mentioned this a little earlier. It's worth mentioning again. We are going to be doing an incredible and I think fascinating webinar next week. We'll release all the details on cliffcentral.com. But we had such a response to Reg Lascaris talking about how the world of marketing and advertising will be post-COVID. And we decided we'd team him up with Timothy Maurice, who, of course, is a behavioral specialist. And between the two of them, we're going to plot the way forward for the market. And this could affect your business, our business. Many people who are trying to chart uncharted territory, you know, trying to figure out what's happening in the world of marketing, because a lot of brands have gone dark. They're just not advertising at the moment. And Reg said to us in that interview I had with him the other day, that's a very bad idea. So we're looking at how we can figure out the next chapter in marketing and advertising, because it's all changed. And you cannot go on now and advertise the old ways. Not only will it look insensitive and irrelevant in a world where people are losing their jobs and there are serious economic concerns and budgets have been cut, But you also can't just go on, hey, we've got a special, buy this at this price, because people are going to be like, what? Are you not even aware of what the world's going through? So we'll figure out how we can best plot the course going forward. And I think Reg and Timothy are exactly the right people to do this. And you can obviously join in with live questions, and you know how a webinar works, right? So that's going to be exciting, and we're doing that early next week. Stick around for that. Kanthan Pillay will rejoin us, as he does every week, for the Burning Platform, and along with him, Sihleng Gobese. Is there anything you guys want to throw in before we wrap up this hour?
Yes.
Yes.
Gareth,
what?
Super exciting time. Yesterday, a friend of mine who works at the much worked slash worked at Bell Pottinger sent me a link. So she worked there.
Yes.
No. She sent me the link that Pottinger's documentary is coming out soon. So I'll send that that link around for the trailer. It looks.
Yes.
Now, my God.
Do you know that our own Richard Poplack, I say our own South African journalist, famously, he writes in the Daily Maverick, and we've had him on cliffcentral.com many times. Richard Poplack and Marianne Tam, who we've also had on once or twice, the two of them are like the executive producers of this series.
Oh, really? Yes. Of the movie?
Yes, of this documentary. They're very much involved. It's called Influence.
Oh, I haven't heard about it. I haven't seen the trailer yet. Like,
what, have you been sleeping under a rock?
Evidently. No, how much do they dig into the whole scandal?
Oh, deep. They interview Lord Bell, who founded the company. They look at countries that that Bell Pottinger has been involved in. They very much focus on South Africa and the Guptas, and you know that race war that they tried to ignite.
So, I'm very surprised that Lord Bell is speaking.
Oh yeah, and he smokes like a chimney, this man.
He should be the one under the rock. I would be under the rock just keeping quiet.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is for all of us to watch. It's a little bit of homework, and it might be a really interesting way to spend an hour or two of next week. Let's. When does it actually get released, Bulelo?
Oh, I don't know. She didn't say anything about that. But so this person, I'll keep a hawk eye on that.
You know someone who used to work at Bell Pottinger?
Yes.
Oh Jesus! What kind of people are you mixing with?
Get some information for us. Some insider info.
No, I'm not going to be. Nobody.
Yeah. What kind of...
But we just want good, you know,
reliable sources. Here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But when people zol, they put saliva in their paper. I'm still, that song is still in my fucking head. You know, I cannot get it out.
Oh, NDZ.
That's apparently she sent a message to Max Harrell, who made the song. Remember, we spoke about this just the other day, and the two of them are like chatting now. She's like, oh, Max, when are you going to make another song?
I kind of feel like I would like to be in tow with NDZ on like a Sunday morning, because I feel like that's her time to come alive. I want to see how she is when she's excited, because when she just speaks like this all the time, when she's happy, how does she sound?
I don't think she's ever been happy in her life.
Maybe no. That's why Jacob left her. It's like
she's a misery.
Compare her to the wife who tried to kill our former president. Then
he likes a bit of excitement, and she was just a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, but Jacob, then, come here, let me kiss you, and you can sop saliva.
Jacob, please don't smoke your cigarette. I don't like cigarettes.
Okay, this is probably the most horrible thing I'll say.
Stop the children from smoking zods. When people zod,
she's like, she's always tired. The way she talks, she sounds tired.
Yes.
Exhausted, like life is just too much for her to bear.
I feel bad for saying this, but imagine a conversation with her and Tuli Madonsela.
Oh my god,
I'd fall asleep. Okay. I'd go into a coma. I'd be like Rapunzel. You'd fall asleep for 100 years. Not Rapunzel. What was it? Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle. I swear to God, you'd hear me snoring. Two minutes with Tulima Donsena and Gwasaza Nadlamini Zuma. Oh my God, what a boring conversation that would be. Just the tempo of their speech.
Yes.
It'd be like the world's slowest drum beat.
Everything will be just a lot for them.
It's exhausting. Like the two of them.
And then put a Kardashian in there for safe measure with vocal frying.
Oh my God. Kasazana Dlamini Zuma.
So you want to talk about Zalania?
I sometimes smoke weed. Nope. But you must not smoke weed. It's very bad for you. Tuli, what do you think? Well, I think it's very bad too, Nkosazana.
Oh! Wow. I'd pull out the gun. Blow my brains out. Poor Jacob. I mean... He likes a bit of excitement in his life. I don't know how long did that marriage last? Couldn't have been long.
Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm going to find a Gupta.
Gupta? Find some Skepesa. Some short Skepesa.
Yeah. Let me take a quick shower.
All right. Well, that's enough character assassination for the morning. Let's get on with our day, shall we? CliffCentral.com coming up. The Burning Platform, which is brought to you every week by Nando's and featuring this morning Sitle Ngobese, who we'll check in with in just a short while. Get ready. Buckle yourself up and sit in the back of your seat because you're going to need to get ready for a takeoff, a rocket launch next. CliffCentral.com.